Okay, Parshas Vayetzi. Let's begin. We got a lot to cover. A really beautiful thought that I want to get through, but we have a lot to do in order to appreciate it in its fullness. So let's begin. The Parsha begins where last week's Parsha left off, in the great phrase. Yaakov is running away from his brother Esav after having stolen the brachas, and he's running to his uncle Lavan. On his way, the beginning of the parasha opens, which we're not going to be discussing this morning. He stops, he sleeps, he has a famous dream with the angels going down and then ascending back up. There's a whole discussion over there. He makes a certain vow. Much to talk about, but not for our purposes this morning. We are going to pick up when he arrives right outside of his uncle's town. The Torah says, let's pick it up on verse, beginning of chapter 29, Perek Chaf Tes. On page 146 in your Chumash, he goes to the Arts of B'nai Kedem. He heads off to the land of the Easterners, and he arrives, V'nei Be'er Basadeh, he finds a well. All of the stories of our matriarchs, we find many, many times the Shidduch is made at the well, and he finds there, Shlosha Edrei Tzon Rov Tzim Aleha. Very interesting fact. The Torah tells us he arrives at the well, and he finds, the Torah gives us this detail, that there are three flocks, three shepherds tending to their flocks there by the well. Rov tzim aleha, they're just hanging out these flocks. Kimina be'erahi yashkuha adarim, because that's the well that all these flocks would drink from, that the shepherds would give them to drink from this particular well. However, the ha'even gedola al piha be'er, there was a large rock that was placed on top of the well. A lot of detail that we're given over here. And so therefore, these shepherds are there with tending to their flocks. They're all just lying around there in the sun, and they're not giving them to drink because there's a very large stone on top of the rock. The Nes Vushama Kolo Adarim, and the Torah would then tell us what would normally happen when all the flocks would gather. The Golulu Esa Evan Me'al Piha Be'er, then together with their combined strength, they would roll the rock off of the mouth of the well. The Shkuasatzon, then they would give their flocks to drink. The Heshivu S7 al Piha Be'er Lim, come on, then after everyone had what to drink, they would return the rock to the top of
the
well.
What was the purpose of the rock?
So on the most simple level, it would sound like it was a means of protecting the water from others taking it who were not able or not appropriate to not pay their fees from taking it. So the way that they would protect themselves is they would make, it seems on the most simple level, therefore the three would gather, and then when they were all there, they were able to dislodge the rock, give their flock to drink, and then they would put the rock back on top. That's what it sounds like. Why we need all of this detail is part of our discussion, but the Torah tells us all of that is background. Now, our main character arrives, Yaakov Avinu, Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. Vayomer lehem Yaakov Achai. Yaakov approaches him and he says, my brothers, me'ayin atem, where are you from? Vayomru mecharan anachnu, and they say, well, we're from Charan. Ha! Yaakov, that's where he's headed. He's heading to his uncle Lavan in Charan, and now he found at the well these three shepherds who are hanging out over there, and they're from Charan. Vayomru lehem, as he says, hayedatem es Lavan ben Nachor? Do you know Lavan ben Nachor? Now, Nachor was really his grandfather, but he doesn't use his father's name, Besuel. Apparently, his grandfather was a more esteemed person, was more well-known. Vayomer Yadon, they say, yes, indeed, we know this love of whom you speak. Vayomer Lahem, so he says to them, Hashalom lo. Now, he needs to go to his uncle Lavan, and he needs to look for a wife from the family. So he says to these shepherds, so you know my uncle Lavan, is he well? Vayomer Shalom, they say, absolutely, very well. Vihine Rachel bito ba'imatzon. Not only that,
Here she comes.
His daughter, Rachel, is on her way now. She was a shepherdess, apparently, and she's coming now with the flock. Now, if we were just, you know, you were the director and you were mapping this out or planning a scene here. So he arrives at the well. We're told this information about the rocks. That's why everybody's just hanging out. He engages them in a conversation. He finds out that they indeed know his uncle Lavan. And now they point out that this is his daughter coming. What should happen next? So I'm like, we're waiting for the introduction between Yaakov. Like, what's going to happen? How is this going to play out? And the Torah instead tells us a fascinating piece of information. Vayomer. Yaakov continues the conversation right after they said, look, she's coming. And he says, Hein od hayom gadol. Wait a minute. The day is still
young.
We still got a lot of time. Lo eis hey osef hamikneh. It's not yet time to gather home all of the flock. Hashku hatzon ulchu uru'u. Go and water your flock, and then go on and continue grazing. Now Rashi points out that this was a little bit of a rebuke to them, that he's saying to them, why in the world are you doing this? Rashi says, Lefi shira osam rov, so he saw them just lying around, all of the flock. Kasavar shirotzim le'esof ha'mikna ha'vaisa v'lo yirod. He thought that all of the shepherds were done for the day and they didn't want to graze their flocks anymore. And because that's what he thought they were doing, he says to them, Ha'od hayom gadol, there's still a lot of time. Kolom Rashi says, Im schir hayom atem, if you are day laborers, and that's how you've been hired, lo hishlab tempulos hayom, you haven't concluded your task. The day is still young, what are you doing? Vim ha'behemos shalachem, and if these are your animals, in which you're not really cheating your owner, but they're your animals, lo eis he'aseif ha'mikneh, it's still early, why are you not letting your flocks continue to graze? So he gives them this rebuke of, why is everybody just lying around? If you're workers, this isn't right. And if they're yours, go out and continue shepherding. And they respond, and they say, Lo nuchal ad asher ye'asvu kol ha'adarim. The rock on the well is too large. We're not able to remove it until everybody gathers. And then hishkinu hatzon. Torah then says, they're still talking. Rachel comes, and when Yaakov sees her, the daughter of Lavan, the brother of his mother, together with the flock, he approaches and he single-handedly removes the stone and gives her flock to drink, and then they engage in a conversation, all of which we could discuss at length in another year when we discuss this very, very rich parsha. Without getting into their interaction between Yaakov and Rachel, and his superhuman strength, and that he himself, when he's so moved by seeing Rachel, that he does it on his own, taking away. Fascinating comment that he says to these shepherds. He's the stranger who shows up. He's the new guy. He says to them, do you know my uncle Avon? This is his daughter coming. And the first thing that he has to say to them is,
why are you not?
Don't be so lazy.
Yeah, what a strange comment to make as before really a formal introduction, before getting to know them, that what he has to say is, why are you guys lounging around? Don't you have work to do? Why is this that you're just here like this? And I'd like to share with you an insight on this particular comment that he makes. Firstly, the Netziv, Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, who was one of the Rosh Yeshiva and the Yeshiva Volozhin, which closed in the early 1890s in Russian Volozhin, writes in his comment on Chumash, he says, the key to Yaakov's ability to do this is in his opening word that he says to them. The very first word that he says to them. What's the first thing? The very first word?
Why so lazy?
What's that? No, before that. Achai, my brothers. He introduces the whole conversation. The first thing that he says to them is Achai. And then it writes that Yaakov was milumad. He was learned to speak in a language of ahava v'reus, in a language of friendship and companionship, and that before giving rebuke, the first thing you need to do is make it clear that you are friends, that you're doing it out of love, that you're doing it because you care about the best interests of those to whom you speak, and not coming from anywhere else. And the hint to that is, his opening word is, Achai, my brothers, that I'm not coming from the holier-than-thou perspective, I'm not coming to just to rebuke, My brothers, it's an attempt at friendship. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky points out in his commentary in the Chumash as well that the Hocheach Tochiach Asamitecha, the mitzvah the Torah gives us to rebuke your friend, the back half of that puzzle, Lo Tisna Sachicha Bilvavecha, don't hate your friend in your heart. You have to first develop an element of love, Reus Va'ava, before you can rebuke. And if you're not coming from that place of friendship, if ever rebuke comes to the listener from a perspective of above, holier than thou, looking down upon, that type of rebuke is never accepted. And so the first word that we have here is Achai, my brothers. We would still ask, okay, but why did he feel, it's, why did he do that? Why does this have to be the comment that he makes of this rebuke, this you should have been working more, there's more to do? Even if he began it with Achai, what drove the comment? What drives this idea that he couldn't hold himself back to say, why are all these sheep lying around doing nothing? Okay, so he started Achai. But why? So I want to share with you a beautiful thought I heard from my colleague, Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, in Boca Raton. I don't remember if he quoted someone or if it's his thoughts, but there is a magnificent thought to share in this. Let's go to another element of our parsha. We're going to flip towards the end of the parsha. Another part of the story to discuss at length on page 164. Let's do a brief, let's just catch up on what's going to happen. Obviously, each one of the points can be a shear unto itself, but we're not going to do that. Yaakov eventually, after his dialogue with Rachel, decides that he wants to marry her. She takes him home, and they make a deal. He's going to marry Rachel. He's going to work for 7 years. You're all familiar with the story. He works for the 7 years, and then Lavan switches them under the chuppah, and he marries Leah. Yaakov demands his wife Rachel, and Lavan says, of course, another 7 years. And he ends up working for a total of 20 years to marry the two girls, the two sisters, Rachel and Leah. The Torah then eventually goes through the whole story of the birth of 11 of the 12 children in this week's Parsha, again, which we could discuss at length, but we're just going to do in summary now. After the 11th child is born, the Torah also tells us how Yaakov had amassed great wealth when he was shepherding the flock of Lavan, where they had made a deal about the speckled and the sparkled and the striped sheep. All the details. Yaakov, at the end of the Parsha, after all of that summary in 10 seconds of what really is many, many hours worth of learning, Yaakov is a wealthy man with four wives and 11 children. And he comes to the conclusion, he sees that Lavan and his sons are getting a little bit jealous and unhappy with Yaakov's success, which is a pattern which we already saw and mentioned last week, of the Jewish visitor in town becomes successful and nobody really appreciates him anymore in town. And Yaakov says,
I always wondered, Yaakov was working for Laban. How did he become rich when he's working for Laban?
So that tells the whole story. They made a deal with the sheep as to Yaakov would keep all the ones that were speckled and striped.
Yeah.
And they eventually he became very, very wealthy. We could look at it in depth another year. We'll leave it at that. Hashem appears to him and says, it's time to go home. It's time to go home. Yaakov speaks to his wives, Rachel and Leah, and he says, your father's face is not towards me like it was before. They're really not happy with us. It's time to leave. And they say, indeed, we have no future here. Let's go. And they steal out in the middle of the night. They gather up all of their belongings, the 11 children and all of the flock, and they take off. They leave. And the Torah tells us that Rachel also stole one of the idols of her father, Lavan, on the way out. And they go. Lavan finds out about the fact that they left, and he pursues Yaakov.
It says Trafim, right?
Trafim, correct.
So why do you say one? There were several?
Several, okay. Yeah, fair. Whatever the Trafim are, if it seems like several, whatever it was.
Okay.
Whatever it was. On page 164... On page 164, verse 23, Pasuk Chagim, Vayikach Esechav, Lavan took all of his kinsmen with him, Vayirdov Acharav, Derech Shivas Yamim, and he catches up to Yaakov after a 7-day journey, Vayadbeko So Bahar Hagila. Yaakov had 3 days of a head start, but by the time that Lavan then catches up, he catches up with him. 24. Vayavo Elokim Elavan Ha'arami B'chalom Halayla. And then something unusual happens. Hashem appears to Lavan in a dream at night. Now Lavan is not one of the heroes of the Jewish people. Lavan is not one of the righteous of the Jewish people. Lavan is one of the wicked, as we say the Pesach Seder. Bikesh Lavan La'akor Esakol. Lavan wanted to destroy everything. And it's from this episode. Vayomer Lo, and Hashem says to Lavan, Yaakov mitovadra. So I'm warning you. Say anything to my Yaakov. Don't say anything good. Don't say anything bad. You just leave him alone. Don't say anything. That's the end of the conversation. Hashem appears to Lavan in a dream, a prophecy, and warns him to stay away. Vayaseg Lavan es Yaakov. Lavan overtakes Yaakov the following morning. And Lavan says to Yaakov, Me'asisa 26 Chafav, what did you do? You stole my heart. You took my daughters as if they were captives. Why didn't you tell me that you were going to do this? I would have sent you away with fanfare, with music, with celebrations. I would have had a party. Why? And then he says, in Chof Test 29, Yesh Le'el Yod, you know, let me kiss my children, he says. My grandchildren, Yesh Le'el Yodi La'asosi Mochem Ra, I really have the ability to do to you all sorts of evil. Ve'elohei Avichem Emesh Omar Elai Le'mor, Hishamer Lecha Midaber Yaakov Mitov Vadra. But your God came to me last night and said, don't say anything. Don't do anything, don't say anything, leave my Yaakov alone. So therefore, Lavan concludes and he says, fine, you have left because you want to go back to your father's home, but why did you steal my gods on the way out? Okay, so Lavan catches up. Again, we're doing this very quickly because we have to get to our point. Lavan catches up. Hashem had spoken to him the night before, says, leave my Yaakov alone. Lavan says, I could do bad to you, but your God told me not to. So I'll send you off to your father's home. I'll send you back to Canaan. But why'd you have to steal my gods on the way out? Now Yaakov, of course, at this point knows nothing about this little theft of the gods. So Yaakov responds. He says, well, I snuck out in the middle of the night because I was afraid you weren't going to let me go. Then he says, take a look, search through. You know, you won't find anything, and he takes a vow, which of course he didn't know that it was his own wife Rachel who had taken them, and he looks through. Let's flip ahead a little bit through verse 34-35. Lavan rummages through the whole tent, and he finds nothing. He gets to Rachel, and Rachel had hidden the trafim under her saddle, and she says, I'm really sorry, Dad, I can't get up, but the way of the women are upon me. So he says, fine, and he leaves. Empty-handed. He searches everything that he could have searched and doesn't find anything. Now Yaakov loses it. Yaakov, who has sat by while the Torah has told us when he was becoming wealthy that Lavan had changed his wages 100 times, had changed the terms of the deal, had switched in the middle of the night his wife for everything that Yaakov has put up with for 20 years with this Lavan, and now that he claimed that you had stolen my trafim as well, and he doesn't find him. And again, as Yaakov, far as Yaakov knows, it was a made-up, trumped-up claim. And now Yaakov, the tension comes out, and he says as follows: Vayichar Yaakov, he got very angry. Vayorev Belavan, and he took up his grievance with Lavan. Literally means he fought with him. Vayan Yaakov Vayomer Lavan, Ma Pishi Uma Chatosi, what is my transgression? What is my sin? Ki dolakta acharai, that you have so pursued me. Ki mishashtes kol kelai, you've gone through all of my things. Ma matzasa mikol klei veisecha, whatever you will find, sim koneged achai v'achacha, place them here. V'yochichu, let that prove what I've done. You have nothing, you see? Nothing. Zasrim Shana, he says, 20 years. Anochi Moch, I've been with you. Rechelecha v'izecha lo shikelu. Your goats, your male goats, your female goats, never shikelu, never miscarried under my watch. Ve'eleitzoncha lo achalti. I never ate of any of the flock for myself. I never benefited personally from any of your flock. Trefalo evesi elecha, that which was mangled, I never brought it to you. Anochi achatena, I would bear that loss. Miodi tivakshena, take it out of my wages. Ganuv tiyom v'ganuv tilayla, stolen by day, stolen by night. You never, never bore that loss. I always, as your shepherd, if I ever lost a sheep, stolen at night, at day, Something got, it was damaged, never miscast, under my watch, nothing that you lost. I bore the brunt of everything. This is how I was for 20 years, by the scorching heat of the day, by the frost of the night. My sleep drifted from my eyes. I never rested once in 20 years of working for you. For 20 years I've worked in your house. 14 years for your two daughters. 6 years prior to that, simply working for you. And you changed my wage 100 times. That's his speech that he gives him. This is a disgruntled worker who has bore the brunt of every loss for 20 years, not sleeping during the day, not at night, the scorching heat of the day, the frost of night, whether it's snow, I bore the brunt of everything. 20, and you changed my wages, but you never suffered anything. I took it all, says Yaakov to Lavan. And now for our Pasuk, Mem Beis 42. Lulei Elokei Avi Elokei Avraham Upachad Yitzchak. And had it not been for the help of the God of my father, the God of Avraham, and the awe, the dread, the fear of Yitzchak, Hayali ki ata reikam shalachtani. Had it not been for my God, you would have sent me out with nothing. After all that I did, the 20 years, the changing of my ways, I bore the loss of everything. Had it not been for my God, you would have sent me out empty-handed. Es anyi ves yagia kapai ro'o Elokim, my wretchedness and the toil of my hands is what Hashem saw. V'yoychach amesh. And that's why he admonished you last night. That's the end of his speech. And yeah, and Lavan responds, okay. And he says, my daughters are your daughters, the children are your, my children, go ahead. And he make a covenant, he sends him off. Let's take a look at this speech. I want to focus on the last line of the speech. So he gives him this whole impassioned description of what's taking place over the last 20 years. And then he says, and two things happened in that verse. Let's break down that last pasuk, Mem Beis 42. Had it not been for the God of my fathers, what two things happened? One, what would have Lavan done to him had it not been for the God of Avram and Yitzchak? Sent him away empty-handed. Is that a physical or a financial threat that was avoided?
Financial.
He said, you would have sent me out empty-handed. Had it not been for the God of Avram and the God of Yitzchak, I would have been penniless. But thank God, I am connected to the God of Avram and Yitzchak, and therefore I am not penniless. I have wealth. And then he adds a second thing. God saw es aniv es yagia kapai. He saw my wretchedness es aniv, and my hard labor that I've done. And then what did he do? Spoke to you last night not to do what?
Nothing.
Not to harm me. So what saved my money?
It's God.
The God of Avram and Yitzchak, what we refer to as Zchus Avos, the merit of the fathers. Zchus Avram, Yitzchak, we always refer to Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. So Yaakov's referring to the Zchus Avos of Avram and Yitzchak. Had it not been for them and their God, I would have had nothing. And what spared him from physical harm? What did God see? His yagia kapai, how much he worked. And the Medrash picks up on this and says, this is very interesting. Hashem appears to Lavan, out of the ordinary, this wicked Russia Lavan. In what merit does Hashem appear to this man to protect Yaakov?
For my Avraham and Yitzchak?
No.
And is that for him?
What part of him?
His work.
Yagia kapai. The toil of my hands is what earned the protection that I got, that you appeared to Laban out of the ordinary and said to him, leave him alone. Says the Medrash. Says the Medrash. Chaviva hi hamelacha mischus avos. Medrash appears in two different Midrashim, in two different languages. The Medrash Rabba says, chaviva hi. What does chaviva mean?
Dear.
It's dear, it's special. Chaviva hi hamelacha, honest labor, is more endearing to Hashem than zchus avos, than the merits of our fathers. Shizchus avos hitzila mamon, because the zchus avos saved him what?
Money.
Money. Umelacha, but the merits of his honest labor, hitzila nefasho, saved his life. Merit of his fathers kept his money. But what kept him alive? His work. Says the Medrash in Tanchuma, the same idea. Mikan anu lemedim shezchus melacha, the zchus of an honest day's labor, omedes bimakom shein yachol zchus avos lamon, stands in a place where even zchus avos can't stand. And he quotes our pasuk, that from the zchus avos all he got was his money. But what saved his own life, that Hashem appeared to Lavan? The merit of his honest day's labor. Now, I want to share, this is the insight that I heard from Rabbi Goldberg. Each one of our avos has a title affiliated with them. Avram is always referred to as? Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu. We refer to him as the Avram Avinu, the Isha Chesed. Moshe, for example, is?
Moshe Rabbeinu.
Moshe was our teacher. Avram is our father. And Moshe is our teacher. Is there anyone who we refer to as Hatzadik?
Yosef.
Yosef, excellent. Yosef is referred to in literature as Yosef Hatzadik. Why? What did Yosef do to be called Yosef Hatzadik?
Didn't do anything. He kept himself.
Because when he was in Mitzrayim, in the seat of immorality, he was no longer in the home of his father Yaakov, and he's in the house of Potiphar, and he's alone with Potiphar, and has every reason to be able to not act like Yosef HaTzadik, and he does. He's referred to as Yosef HaTzadik. There is someone else referred to as HaTzadik. In a very interesting usage, the Rambam refers to Yaakov as HaTzadik. Yaakov HaTzadik. Where does the Rambam refer to Yaakov as Yaakov? It doesn't even sound like we're not familiar with that phrase. Yeah, it's Avram Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov HaTzadik. There's one place the Rambam, Maimonides, refers to Yaakov as Yaakov HaTzadik. And it comes from the very last halacha in Hilchos Schirus, which is the halachas the Rambam describes of hiring workers. When you hire a worker, there are all sorts of halachas when you have to pay them and how you pay them and who can work for what and when and all sorts of halachas. The very, very, very last halacha, the end of the 13th chapter of the halachas of Schirus, the Rambam says, "Kederach shemuzer balabayis shelo yigzal scharani," the same way as the balabayis, the owner, is responsible not to cheat his worker in any way. If these are the wages that you set, you must pay them as determined and not hold them back. Kach ha'ani muzhar. So is the worker, the poor person who's working for you, equally responsible, shelo yigzal malachas balabayis, not to steal from his employer. V'yevato ma'at bekan, and take a little time off over here. U'ma'at bekan, and take a little time off over there. U'motzi kol hayom b'mirma, and all day, he thinks you're working for him, and you're taking coffee breaks. El chayiv ledaktek al atzmo bizman. You are obligated to be particular. If you're on the clock, you're on the clock. We see even benching is a whole discussion in halacha. Are you allowed to take time off to bench? Can you say the fourth bracha? There's all this guy. What can you do? You're on the clock. V'kein chayiv la'avod b'chol kocho. And he's equally obligated to work with all of his strength. Shehare Yaakov hatzadik, because Yaakov the tzadik said, ki b'chol kochi avadati es avichen. When he spoke to his wives and said, it's time for us to go home, and there's nothing left for me to do. He says, I worked with all my strength for your father. In his speech that he would later expound on, which we just read, of, I took every loss at night during the day. I didn't sleep, whether it was hot, whether it was cold. No matter what, I bore the brunt of the loss. And I worked with for you with all of my strength. And the Rambam points to that and says, Yaakov HaTzadik, who bore all of that, is our paradigm of there's no time off when you're on the clock. To be a tzaddik. Now, to say that we could accomplish what an Avram Avinu accomplished with the Akedah, to be thrown into a fiery furnace, you know, those are things we talk about Avram for. It's beyond us. Yitzchak to be offered as a sacrifice. Most of the stories that we read, are they seem they're so big. This is every day. That a person is a tzaddik by being careful on every cent. If you're an employee, that you work honestly, that you work hard, that you don't cut corners, that it's with integrity and with honesty. That is Yaakov HaTzadik. And that's what he says to Lavan, and which the Medrash points out and says, Zuchus Avos will take us so far. How far will Zuchus Avos take us? We'll protect your money. You know what goes even farther? The schus of Yagia Kapecha, the fact that he worked that honest day's labor for 20 years, that's what allowed Hashem to appear to Lavan and say, don't you touch my Yaakov. Schus Avos wouldn't have done that. But his own merits from Yagia Kapecha, from the toil of his hands, did. That's how strong that element of the honest day's labor to be with that level of integrity. And I now go back to the question that we started from. Yaakov shows up at the well. And what does he see?
Everybody's hanging around.
Not working.
And he can't hold himself back. And he says, Ahai, what are you doing? It's the middle of the day. So he introduces it with Achai, because he knows you can't just start yelling and screaming. So he starts with Achai. But why did he have to say anything? Because Yaakov HaTzadik, the Yaakov who's about to engage with his uncle in a 20-year relationship in which he's going to become this Yaakov HaTzadik in the way he demonstrates how a Jew works. The Torah introduces that as he shows up at the well, unable to keep it inside. How can it be? It's the middle of the day, you're lounging around. Go to work! You're under someone else's clock! You're their shepherd! How can you do this? And you see how, it's such a strange placement in the story. He said, they just said, here comes his daughter Rachel. I would have expected, go out and meet. But before the Torah even tells us that he goes out to meet her and to say anything, the first thing he says is, why are you lounging out of here? Because Yaakov HaTzadik couldn't help it. Because that schus of Yagias Kapecha, of that day's labor, the honesty, actually takes us farther than the schus avos. And it sort of weaves its way into the story, both in the beginning and then in the end of the parsha, that element of what he has. Very, very beautiful thoughts. To share on that component. All right, I wish you all a wonderful day of good, honest labor as we have a lunch and learn in the middle of the day.